So speak to any one of the people with a little orange card on. Some of them say hospitality, some say music, some say children, whatever. Speak to the people where you feel God wants to get you in. And just hand your card in at the back if you otherwise bring it next week, and we'll follow you up in the weeks to come. Amen. So who's excited to be here this morning? We've got a special guest, so you can come up so long. My friend Fani and his wife Deline, I think you can also some opkom that the people. Let's give them a warm Bloemfontein welcome. These amazing people. All the way from Die Karoo, my place of birth, the fourth oldest town in the country, Graaf-Reinet, and they have pioneered a church plant there, and they are such a blessing. They're people of faith. They're people that have laid down their lives for the cause of the kingdom. So I believe that we can open our hearts to receive from Fani this morning, and let's really let the Lord speak to us through, you know, when someone comes from the outside, it's always such a blessing because, you know, there's a freshness about it. And so I'm excited to hear from Fani, and this evening he's going to be speaking about something different. He'll share that now, but you can come in the evening as well if you enjoy him this morning. So, let's someone put our hands together again for Fani and Deline.
Thank you. Thank you, Alistair, and thank you all for having us. It's such an honor and a privilege to share the word with you this morning. And I just want to share one thing with you guys, because I feel that we are family and we are spiritual family. And like every other family, there's some parts of your family that you rather not call family, but they your family. So you got to live with them. And just walking in here this morning and seeing all the little ones running around, we less than you guys, but it looks exactly the same. We have these orange tags. They're in a box somewhere. We don't wear them yet in Graaf-Reinet, because otherwise the whole church will have the orange tags on a Sunday. So it's we all signed up. We're a startup. But it was encouraging to see that the little ones is welcome and you guys are embracing them. Because that's where they know, that's where they learn how to love the Lord and how to pray for people, how to worship God. So don't stop doing that. Don't stop packing their lunch boxes. It looks like a lunch box because they eat when they get here. They eat through the service and they eat on their way back. But I just want to, before I start this morning, I just want Deline's got something she wants to share. She's got a word this morning, but she was a little bit busy with Loa and Jana. So, Deline, if you would come up here and just share that before I start.
Morning. I just want to encourage you with something that I felt this morning. While we were praying outside, I felt the Lord showing me like a rose bush that's being pruned, like in the winter. You normally prune your roses in the winter, and you have to prune it just a little bit above, we call it in Afrikaans the oksel. I don't know what you call it in English. But I just sensed the Lord, and let me just first say, I saw the rose bush after it's been pruned, and it's just standing like this. The branches, it looks bare, but I felt the Lord saying to me that He is the pruner, and He prunes well, and He prunes at exactly the right places, and He doesn't prune life away. He prunes the flowers if they're not supposed to be there, but He prunes at the place where, so He doesn't prune life away. So I just wanted to encourage you that we are in the Jubilee year. It's a year where God restores what's been stolen. And I feel that God wants to restore to His church, the whole body of Christ, what's been stolen from the church. So it's going to happen. So I want to encourage you, when the church is in a season where it's been pruned, it's sometimes an awkward place. It's a dry place. You see the branches standing like this, and you're saying, oh, Lord, okay, now you must, you know, you must bring life from where we are. But God is going to do that because He prunes, He doesn't prune life away, and He's going to bring fruit, and He restores what has been stolen from the church. So there's a great revival coming in the church, and I want to encourage you that you are in the right place. God is going to use His church. That is His plan A. There's no plan B. He's going to use His church, and He's going to use them, His marriages. Our marriages and our churches, is what He's going to use. And I just want to tell you that when we were worshiping this morning, there was one of the songs that's a declaration. And it felt in my spirit incredibly loud. And it felt to me as if the whole town is hearing this. Because it was not physically loud, spiritually so loud. And I want to encourage you that you are like a church on a hill. And spiritually, the whole town is aware of you. So the town is spiritually, the town is very aware of this church, and you are in a good place. So I just want to encourage you. If you are discouraged about what you see in the natural, these incredible things happening in the spirit, and God's ways is higher. So God is positioning his churches for a revival that is coming. So you are in the right place. So you must just, you know, keep on doing what you're doing. You're doing really well.
Thank you, Deline. Now, I've got to work on a comeback from there, because I cannot just say amen to that. Guys, I just want to give you some background, because here I stand before you, and you're now receiving the word. So just a short, who am I? And I farm down in Graaff-Reinet. I don't know how many generation of Nell in Graaff-Reinet. So I grew up a farmer. I grew up on a farm. I am a farmer at the moment. And I farm with boer goats and cattle and lucerne. And I know the guys at HQ in Shofar doesn't get their head quite around me farming with goats, and it's actually biblical to farm with sheep. So so that's something they must get over. We started Shofar Graaff-Reinet in April 2015. My wife and I, Deline, she's a lawyer. She studied LLB. And last year, at the end of last year, she joined me in the farming and the church. So we're now both full-time farmers. She was a farmer's wife. Now she's actually part of the farming. So now she's a farm wife then, if she was a farmer's wife. And we have two little daughters, Jana and Loa. They're breaking down kids' church back here somewhere. And that's us. We love the Lord. We love to be with other people who love the Lord, and especially to go out to people who don't know the Lord and know that He loves them. That's what we were called for. So this morning I want to talk to you about something Deline touched on, and it's church, what we do here this morning. Why have church? Why do we go through all the trouble? Why do we go through all the setup? Why do we go through all the pain of planting something that's called church? And maybe you've asked that question, maybe you never did, but what on earth are we here for? What must the church do on this planet? What were we called to do? And if you answer those questions to you this morning and you get past the politically correct answers about what you think we should do, then we get to the point that, but if that's the fact, if we are God's plan A, like Deline shared, and if we are here to actually impact the world, then why are no one taking us seriously? Why is it that as you go into the world, people laugh at you? They call you names. They say, we're the weird people. We're the people that real life happens here, where we now, where the techie hits the tar. This is where real life happens. And these guys are so spiritual or whatever. So just don't talk to them, because they don't know. They don't know the real issues, the real life. And that's my question I want to open with today, because I'm going to talk about this and maybe more specifically about what it is we take out into the world, the message we take out into the world. So if I would put a title to this morning's message, it would be that are we still doing, preaching, living the whole gospel? And I want to start this morning, and if you would turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians, you can see I don't have slideshows, and I've got a notepad, like a literal notepad, that it doesn't run out of battery power. But if you would like to turn 1 Thessalonians 1 verse, I want to read there from verse 5 to I think about verse 9 or 10. 1 Thessalonians verse 5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia, Asia, who believe, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Asia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now let's just close our eyes in prayer for a moment before I go further. Father God, I want to pray this morning that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart may be found acceptable unto you. Holy Spirit, use me this morning and move through me and move in all of us today, and let your word, the word you have for us this morning, change us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The only thing, if you get your paper notepads, the tables they provide is not big enough to take those old stuff anymore. Guys, where I started with this message a couple of weeks ago, we watched a short clip where Sias shared in Bible School 3, and there was a question when he was on an outreach. He shared the testimony. He was on an outreach in Iran, and there the people of Iran said to them, "We would love that you pray for us. Please pray for us. But don't preach your polluted gospel here. Your polluted Western gospel to us here in Iran, in this persecuted church." And I thought when I heard it the first time that, it's hard words. I mean, have we drifted so far from the gospel that people say, you know what, you can pray for us, that's fine, but please, don't share the word with us, because you've polluted it. And then, if you think about it, you say, but I mean, come on, how can this be? We've got our Bibles. We check what we preach. We're intact with the word. We're in line with the word. How can this guy, I mean, it's offensive. How can he tell me that I'm preaching a polluted gospel? How is that even possible? And then, if you get through all those thoughts and how dare they, and then you get to the place where, okay, let's then just journey on this statement for a while. Because if Paul writes to the guys in Thessalonia, he says to them, like I read to you now, it's a powerful, it came in power. And which was more that the lives changed so much that people didn't even refer back to what Paul preached. He said, no, we can see what these guys did. We can see how their lives changed. That's the gospel. The gospel is life-changing. That's the good news. And this morning I want to say to each one of us, we were born in a culture. That's the first thing. So I was born in an Afrikaans culture. I used English for self-defense. So Alistair and I grew up in Graaf-Reinet, and he was in Union High. I was in Volk School, so we couldn't communicate with each other. We could just tackle one another on the rugby field. So you grow up in this Afrikaner culture, in this Afrikaans culture, or your Khoza culture. There's a guy doing his internship on my farm, Noah Manzi. He's from Umtata, and he grew up in his Khoza culture, and there's a lot of stuff that he does that I don't understand, and there's a lot of stuff I do that he don't understand. Then you've got your English people, which we will never understand, and then... our country, Tswanas, the Zulus, I mean, we live in such a wonderful place where there's so many cultures going on, but there's so much things that we don't understand of one another's culture. Am I correct? And that's not wrong. It's not wrong to be born in a culture. That's just the way it is. That's just natural. But what happens now is people import stuff. We like parrots or monkeys. We see, monkey see, monkey do. My little ones, whether they get what they do, mostly from Deline, if it's they get it from all of us. They see what the grown-ups do and they want to do the same thing. So when we grow up in this culture, we get to a place where we've ticked all the boxes. We Afrikaners, we have our gelofte dag. The English, they play their cricket with tea. The Kosas has got some initiation rituals that's going on in Graafrenet at about in December. So what is it? There's stuff in our culture that's just the way it is. That's just the way we grew up. And I'm not talking about right and wrong at the moment. That's the way it is. So what, there comes a point in your life, in each one of us that's sitting here, and if you think back that you met Jesus, and now a couple of things change all of a sudden. So I've been in my culture for a while, and now I meet Jesus. So I grew up in a Jesus culture, but now I actually meet Jesus. That was true for me. I grew up in a Jesus culture where we talk all the tick boxes, we go through the Bible, and now you actually meet the guy. You meet your Lord, you meet your Savior. And now stuff changed, because now all of a sudden, at this point, you realize, but now there's friction. There's a lot of friction now, because I've now met Jesus, and He said that I must love my neighbor, I must go the extra mile, I must actually lay down my life. A couple of stuff we'll get to, but now you think of a bachelor's party. And I must not go to a bachelor's party and everything that's involved there, but it's a culture that tells us that this is what we do. A lot of drinking, a lot of all the stuff they do at bachelor's parties, which obviously Alistair and I never attended, but I mean, there's stuff that happens at bachelor's parties. So now there's friction. It's your friends, it's your family, it's your brother. And all of a sudden you think, but hang on, how can this be? How can this be that they're so far away from what Jesus actually called me to do? But I cannot tell this to them, because then they will ostracize me and they'll put me aside. So what we are excellent in doing is that we say, okay, not everything's bad in my culture. So let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater here. Jesus will understand, won't he? I mean, he's a gracious God. He will understand. Let's just, for now, just for the time being, just go along with culture, and you've got your one foot there, and you've got your other foot in church, in Jesus, in following Jesus. And you want to be a disciple on this side, but on this side, you still want to bring everyone. You don't want to offend people. You don't want to bring the truth. And that's difficult, guys. Especially if you go back to your hometown and all of a sudden you sit at the sales, and I love it to go there with my two-tone clothes. I didn't bring them with today because my wife don't like it if I wear two-tone. And I'm glad I didn't, because I thought Bloemfontein might have some two-tone people sitting here this morning, but you don't. So it's cool that I didn't bring them with. But now you sit there and all of a sudden, these guys must get their head around, but these, yes, shofar's pastor selling whatever, goats or cattle, being together with the other guys. And that's something where you realize that, okay, but there's a shift for each one of us. We get into that position where it's uncomfortable. And that's where God can actually start using us and say, okay, now let me take you on this journey. Because He doesn't send us there. He goes with us through His Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, if we go back there, there's nothing new. In the Old Testament, when you start reading your Bible, God sent the Israelites somewhere, and He tells them, when you get there, and that's where a lot of people say, we can't follow a God, because when we get there, we've got to kill everyone. Now, God's not a racist. He created us in different races. God's not against culture. He created different cultures. Everything is from God. So God's not against people. He's not into violence. He's not into the killing of the people. But there's a principle that once you live with these people, you will adopt their culture. And most horrifying is that you will actually adopt their idols, their gods. So then you will turn away from me, whom you cannot see, to these carved images, which you can see. So God's not malicious and God's not against what they do. He said, listen, these other cultures, they're serving Satan and I'm sending you there, so get rid of it. Now we know the whole Old Testament, the people could never get rid of all of it. So now in the New Testament, Jesus arrives. And we go to Iran, not to kill the Muslims, because Jesus came with a different message. The New Testament is about go into the world and go tell the people about me. And the difference between the Old and the New Testament is the cross at Calvary, where Jesus died and where he sealed the victory. We sang it this morning. Death's been defeated. And Jesus rose again and he poured out his Holy Spirit. So now it's God in us that goes with us into these cultures. And even as we go into these cultures, Solomon wrote in Proverbs, I guess, or Ecclesiastes, translations I can't always do in my head, but he writes, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything has already been. So Paul writes to the people in Corinth. I just want to give you three examples. And he writes to the people in Corinth and he tells them, listen guys, I'm writing you this letter because you Greeks, you're a Greek city. You've got this Greek culture. And you've got this goddess that's called Aphrodite or Venus. And she's the goddess of love or sexual stuff. So you go into the city and there's a lot of sexual stuff happening in Corinth back in the day. And Paul writes to them and he tells them, listen guys, with this 1,000, among others, 1,000 professional prostitutes in Aphrodite's temple. So it's a hectic sexual world. He's planting a church in that. It wasn't me, Alistair. And then you would think, okay, but now obviously he's planted the church there and we think he brings Jesus there and it comes back to the first statement I made. So the gospel will change the world, but they will change the gospel. And he changed the church and it polluted the church. Go and read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. It's Paul telling them, you cannot give yourself over to this living anymore. And what's even worse is that you're actually topping the Gentiles. You're doing it better than the Greeks. You're pushing the sexual limits to the end where I'm like, what are you doing? That's what Paul's writing. That's the heart behind his letter. Galatia, everything's not about sexual sin. Galatia, the legalistic guys, all the rules, all the regulations, all the do this, don't do that. So the Galatian people that sit in this legal mindset where we've got to get a set of rules, they say, listen, guys, we like your Jesus, and we like that Jesus is the one we must follow. But you cannot just have Jesus. You've got to comply with just a couple. I guess it started with one or two of the rules. The Judaizers probably said, you've got to be circumcised. You can follow Jesus, and that's cool. We're not against that. But we in Galatia feel that you also got to do some other things. And that's where religion comes from. That's where religion creeps in and starts polluting our gospel. So we start telling people that it's not just Jesus and Jesus is grace. You've got to actually toe the line, do X, Y, and Z. And then people sit under this burden, which is not from God, and which was not Jesus' intention. So Colossians, Paul writes to false teachers. I don't know if you have any false teachers in Bloemfontein or ever met any false teachers. They're the guys that will predict next week, Wednesday, 7 o'clock, meet us at Naval Hill. It's the end of the world. Jesus is coming at about 7:30 sharp. They're the guys that's into when, what, all the signs and interpreting all the signs. And I'm not saying that's wrong. We from time to time also say, listen, we got to wake up because some of the end time signs are there. But we're not into predicting the specific hour and time of when Jesus is coming. Because he said only God the Father knows. That seals it. That settles it. Why waste your time on that? get back to the whole gospel and spreading the whole gospel. So now, and your prosperity teachers, the list goes on. There's people that now bring a false teaching. They bring something more. They add their bit to the gospel. So when we see that through the ages, even from the very beginning, people are compensating. We are making some add-ons, but we're just compromising. We're just compromising the gospel in order to reach more people. So how is that even relevant for us today as we sit here, as I go through this morning? And I'd like to just mention to you some churches. John writes a letter from Jesus to the churches in Revelations 2 and 3. I'm just going to give you the short list. First of all, there's a loveless church in Ephesus. Then there's the persecuted church in Smyrna. The compromising church in Pergamos. The corrupt church in Thyatira. The dead church in Sardis. The faithful church in Philadelphia. And the lukewarm church in Laodicea. Now, Jesus didn't give that list in order 20 seconds or 20 minutes, 20 hours. Now, Jesus didn't give us that list to say that, listen, guys, you got to pick from the list, or rather be this one, or now we go and select our church. Jesus said that, listen, hang on, guys, for all of them, he said, you started as one thing, and now you drifted to something else. You started somewhere. You don't start out being a loveless church. You don't. You don't start out being a lukewarm church. You drift there. And that's something we must guard against. That's something we must focus on. Because Jesus said to the church in Ephesus, beware that I don't come and remove your lampstand. And now that's a different question. In 20 minutes, it's too short to tell you all of that. But the fact is now, if I remove your lampstand, now you're an illegitimate church. So you're still having your church thing, but God's anointing. That's my interpretation of what God's saying there. Is that you're still doing church the way you want to do church, but God has left the building. And that's a scary place to be. So we must guard ourselves that we say from time to time, listen, guys, what is the full gospel? And that's what I want to get at this morning. How does this gospel Paul is talking about, where he say, for our preaching of the glad tidings in 1 Thessalonians 5, which we read this morning. What's that preaching of glad tidings? What's that glad tidings? Now this morning, the first point I want to make is that Jesus paid for our sins. He paid for all our sins. It cost you nothing. So Jesus paid it all. That's the first good news. You didn't even know that you owe someone something and someone else paid for you. That's just good news. And Jesus did that when you didn't know him. And the funny thing is, Jesus didn't even know if you were going to follow him. Because he's not forcing you to follow him. He's not forcing you to be here this morning. When he said, even in that position, he said to God the Father, I'm willing to pay. I'm taking your wrath on me so that we can save this people from your wrath. So that's the first good news of the gospel. The second thing is, we are saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 9. So you just believe in Jesus and that he's the Son of God. He was born in the flesh. He died on the cross. He was raised from the dead by God the Father. And you confess it with your mouth, you believe it, and you'll be saved. And that's the good news. Am I right? That's the gospel. Is that the full gospel? If we think this morning, is that where it stopped? It's Jesus paid for everyone. It's grace through faith, by grace. But there's more to the gospel. And I want to challenge you with the more to the gospel this morning, because we forget to tell the rest of the gospel because it doesn't sound that good. We're here to bring good news, and then we stop because the rest doesn't sound good to our soul and to our physical bodies, the rest of what I'm about to share now. So then we stop the gospel short of the full gospel. Because once you start following Jesus, the first thing you got to tell someone is, listen, this is going to cost you everything. This decision you made today will cost you your whole life. Jesus said you must lay down your life for me. Matthew 16 verse 25, for whoever would save his life will lose it. And he who saves his life for my sake, he will keep it. But you first got to lose it. You first got to say, God, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm laying down my life. I don't belong to myself anymore. Jesus, and this is the one thing that we miss it. Jesus is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. There's not an in-between where Jesus is Lord of something. That's not our kingship work. That's not our a kingdom work. That's not our lordship work. You're Lord of all, or you're Lord of nothing. And that's the one thing we forget to tell people and say, listen, by the way, I'm so glad. I'm so excited about this journey you're embarking on. I want to be with you every step of the way where God allows me to impart, where the discipleship road starts, but it will cost you everything. Part of the gospel is the part Deleen shared this morning. There's pruning. So when we give people the gospel, we leave out that there will be pruning, there will be disciplining. You don't believe me? Believe Hebrews 12 verse 6. For the Lord disciplines those he loves. Proverbs 17 verse 3. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace is for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Tonight we're going to talk about this furnace, this refining fire of God. What is it? What's this thing that creates a desire in me to come to you this morning and say, this is good news. I hope I'm still smiling because this is still good news. This is still part of the gospel. We just leave it out because we want to comply. And we want to say to people, don't worry, you can keep everything. Jesus saved you. As if Jesus saved you from hell. He didn't. He saved you from the wrath of the Almighty God. And he saved you to be a son in the kingdom. He didn't save you from hell. That's just bad theology. Am I right, Alistair? And John 15, the story about I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. He looks after his vineyard. He prunes. Every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he cuts off. And then we're like, bring it on. If you're here and you don't want to sign up for serving, we're going to prune you. You've got to leave. You've got to go to another church and you can go there. Okay, that's not the way you do it here. maybe I must change that back in Graaffreinet and more people might stay there. So we stop there and say, that's fine. We want to get all the people that don't comply out of here. That's great, Father God. Cut them off. They don't bear fruit. That's not the whole verse. The rest it ends and say, but those that does bear fruit, he prunes. So that they will bear even more fruit. Ouch, that's not so nice. Why do you want to cut me, Lord? I'm bearing fruit. I'm doing my bit here. And that's the part of the gospel that where people now start moaning and complaining about what God's busy doing. Because that's not what I signed up for. I signed up for Jesus who saved me. I signed up for grace. I signed up for mercy. I didn't sign up for a loving Father that disciplines me. I didn't sign up for this principle of a holy God that prunes the unholy stuff out of my life, that gets me to a place of purity. I didn't sign up for all this stuff. Now God puts me in a place where I got to deal with stuff. And now I complain and say, but like the Israelites, it's God. It's God. It's God's fault. It's my bad teaching when I first led you to the Lord and say, listen, by the way, it's going to cost you something. We think it's offensive to people, but the fact is you need the whole gospel to get to a place of deliverance and a place of freedom and a place where you can actually take the yoke of Jesus upon you. And now I walk with this yoke that's light and soft. And part of the stuff that happens to us most of the time is because you don't belong to this world anymore. Hello. Wake up call. You don't belong here, so people don't want you here. You belong to heaven now. You belong to another kingdom. So we don't want you here. We don't want Christians here. This is Satan's world. But we are here. Hell was made for Satan. It's made for the devil. It's not for people. So we are here to tell people that we're going to heaven. Jesus said, Father God, I pray that they will be one as you and I are one. And though they will stay in this world, you know that they're not from this world anymore. They don't belong here anymore. So the list goes on. Some of the stuff we do and don't do, heal the sick, raise the dead. It's a lot of stuff that us as a church were called to do, us as disciples were called to do. When last did you and I hear the whole gospel? Okay, obviously not you guys, because Alistair would give you the whole gospel, but in the church as a whole, when last did we hear the whole gospel? A step further, when last did we see the whole gospel? Because it's one thing hearing the whole gospel, but it's a different thing. It's a community changer when you see the whole gospel in action. So you see, living and spreading the good news is not optional. Jesus didn't say, you sign up and now you're safe. And by the way, I'm so glad, if you want to tick the box to spread the good news and tell other people, we would love it. We would appreciate it. Jesus said, thank you. You joined me. You're now here to help me to get salvation into the world so that we can get salvation to all the world, that every tongue will confess one day that Jesus is Lord. So the church is an army sent into this world. And in an army, you don't choose your orders. You don't say, yes, corporal, I'll do this, or make it higher. Yes, major, I'll do this, but I won't do that. I'm not going there. You can go there. In an army, it's not an option. You got to obey the orders. In a book called The Art of War by Sun Tzu, he was a Chinese military genius, and he writes the following. When in difficult country, do not encamp. And then as you read it, it's a secular book. It's a book about military strategy. And then you think, but hang on. I read that somewhere in Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of death, walk. Armies don't camp in difficult terrain. They push through. They go to the other side. But we are camping around our offense, our unforgiveness, our unbelief, our complacency. We don't address those issues. We just want to comply. We just want to let everyone in. We don't want to take a stance and say, listen, we're moving on. Do not linger in dangerously isolated positions. Romans 12 verse 5. This is what Sun Tzu said. Don't linger there in those isolated positions. Romans 12 verse 5. So we being many members in one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So God adds us. God plants us. God, we part of one another. We're functioning as His army. Being part of one another. The being one principle. John 17:21, I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one. Tough times, guys. It's a tough call. But we are being transformed into the image of Christ along this road. So Jesus takes us along the full gospel to be transformed into His image. Now you guys might not feel like a mighty army this morning. You might not feel like the military kind, or I love military strategy and military and stuff, so I bore the lean with the stuff a lot of times. But Ezekiel 37, verse 10, he says to Elijah, these dry bones, and the church, a lot of people, yeah, we dry bones, we dry bones, we don't do what we do. And it ends by saying, prophesy over them, prophesy life into them. And then it finishes where he says, they stood up an exceedingly great army. And a couple of verses further, God says, the house of Israel, my people, you, my people, God's people, that were called by my name, that's the way I see you, an exceedingly great army, exceedingly great in the spirit, as you heard this morning, where we were called, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, we were called and our weapons are not carnal. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 says, they are mighty through God for the taking down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? I didn't write it down, but I'm going to give it a shot anyway. Delene can help me, but a stronghold is an idea or a concept or a mindset contrary to the Word of God, impregnated with hopelessness. People sit trapped in a stronghold where their minds has been programmed that you cannot get out of this. No one will get you out of this. But we are a mighty army of disciples, so we see strongholds fall in Bloemfontein, in Graaf-Reinet. We just heard the other week that the Freemasons are selling their lodge in Graaf-Reinet. Praise Jesus. We played no part in it. We just got the news and we rejoiced and we say, yes, Lord, that's what we want to see. We want to see the captive set free. Because the lie the devil tells you and me is that, listen, guys, you're not going to make it. Jesus didn't die for you. He just died for us, or just for this group, or just for the people that do this. But we were called by Jesus to set the captives free. Who are those captives? They're not the guys sitting in prison. They're the guys sitting in these strongholds in their minds. We need the whole gospel to penetrate their minds, to set them free, to take every thought captive. Tell them, listen, I'm standing here with you. Who sent you? My general sent me. He's my king. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I'm just a representative. But I've got his full authority to tell Satan to leave you in Jesus' name. But we fall short of it because it might offend. We might step on toes. We might, this religious structure we sit in South Africa, we've got a lot of religion going around, especially in the Platteland. How do we get into this thing? How do we? We don't. It's God's victory. The mighties are strong. The weapons are mighty through God, not through you pitching there. It's the Holy Spirit in you. We can claim nothing. We can do nothing. We can not even bring God anything. Everything's from Him and it goes back to Him. So I want to encourage you this morning, and I hope that this word encourages you in that there's hope for us. If we bring the full gospel, if we bring people to a place where it's not about you anymore, it's about Jesus and what He wants. And you signed up for this. And by the way, if you look into the heaven, Elijah said to God, please open my servant's eyes. We stand here in front of the impossible, 10,000 soldiers, armed and ready to kill one guy. Satan don't send small issues. He normally sends big issues. To you, it seems so big in that moment. I'm not dissing that. We are going through a heavy drought, and it impacted me and my wife and my children. It's real life happening out there. It's not big stuff he sends. And then Elijah says to his servant, I'm going to pray to God. By the way, Elijah didn't see those armies. He just prayed, opened his eyes, and he saw the heavenly host. So when you pitch before your friend this afternoon or this week, I want to pray with you. I come in authority with all these angels, the heavenly host, everyone that's behind me. We are here in this moment. The kingdom of heaven is at hand for you. Now, reach out, touch it. Come into the kingdom of heaven. And this week as we fast, I want to close now and I want to pray for us. Sign up for the fast. Even if you fast only coffee or sweets. For someone, it's terrible just not to open Facebook. Just try it for 3 days. Put off the notifications and say, God, I'm going to fast just one thing. And in that time, I just want to focus on you. I just want to pray that you make us in Shofar Bloemfontein a tight unit. A unit that can impact Bloemfontein. A unit that will change lives. That will see your kingdom come. And as you sign up in Activate Sunday for wherever God wants you to serve, it's not just there where we serve. We serve in our workplace. Most of the times I get opportunity to pray for people because I'm a farmer, not a pastor. If you tell them you're a pastor, they run. You can run. You cannot hide from me because I got to buy your ram just now. So hang in there. Bear with me for a second. I'm not always that obedient. I often drive away and think, Lord, I missed the mark there. I didn't. You actually prompt me to pray for that guy, and I didn't. So, if I want to pray for this morning that the Holy Spirit just fill us afresh. So if it's you this morning and you want to say, Lord, I want to sign up. I've signed up many years ago. But this morning I just want to feel that I want to be part of this army. I want to sign up, Father God. I want to be there. So Holy Spirit, just come and fill me afresh. So I want to pray for that this morning. If that's you and you want to sign up again and say, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. Why don't you just stand with me this morning? And we're just going to pray that the Holy Spirit fill us with this boldness, with this willingness, with this obedience. As we go into this year from this point on, that we will say, God, we walk with you, filled with your Holy Spirit. We don't walk by sight anymore. We walk by faith. So why don't you just stand, and then I'm going to pray for each one standing. Holy Spirit, we often don't know how to talk to you. We don't know how to pray when we gotta focus on you. But you are with us always. Jesus said that you are the helper. You are helping us. And we just want to come and repent this morning that there are times where we just dimming your voice. We're just putting that volume knob on mute. We just mute you, Holy Spirit. We want to repent of being a church that's not giving you your full authority, not giving you our full obedience this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that as each one of us standing this morning, I want to pray that you fill us afresh in Jesus' name. Just come and fill us, Holy Spirit. And as you stand there, just accept the Holy Spirit afresh into your life. Just call out to God in pray in tongues. Praise Jesus. Just there where you stand. Just declare, Holy Spirit, come and fill me afresh this morning. We want to see God's kingdom come here in our community. We want to see lives changed. We want to see the next generation walk in their salvation. Thank you, Jesus, that we are not alone. Thank you that you're with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you enable us to do the work of the ministry. And I pray that as we go out here, that you will prompt us every time we stop short of the full gospel, every time we stop short of seeing your kingdom come, your glory come in every situation. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.
Just let's keep our eyes closed. Just allow the Holy Spirit to just complete what He started here this morning. Just want to thank Fani so much. That was a word in season for us. For Deline for that word. Spot on. So let's just spend time with the Lord. Let's not rush this moment. I really believe the Lord wants to do specific stuff in hearts here this morning. I'm not gonna call you forward this morning, but I really believe there's some people here that you're struggling to just dive into this river and even in this church, specifically Shofar here in Bloemfontein. You're struggling to give everything. You're questioning a lot of stuff. You're observing. You're looking from a distance, and the Lord's got grace for that. But I really want to ask you to just allow the Lord to just change that mindset of maybe there's a lot lack of trust or a loss of trust. Maybe you lost trust in leadership or in me or in just maybe the Shofar movement as a whole. Then that's real for you. And I'm not saying just get over it, because that's not what God wants to do. But I really want you to just make a commitment now in the Spirit to just choose to just let go of anything that's holding you back. Because you can't function in the kingdom if you're not functioning in a local body. I really believe that. And there's a lot of teachings, a lot of weird stuff going on around there. And we can believe it or not, but I really believe you cannot fully be an army soldier, like Fani said. You cannot fully sign up in the kingdom if you haven't fully signed up in a local church. And I want to give you time. I'll give you the whole year if I have to. But we really, our heart is to want the best for you. Okay? And God wants the best for you. And we are imperfect. We are not perfect leaders. But our heart is wanting the best for you. And we want you to have a passion for Jesus, like these values say. We want you to serve people. We want you to walk by the power of faith and the power of belief. We want you to have a purpose to pursue. That's why we've got core values. But sometimes it's a struggle for us to just let go because we've been hurt by people and whatever. And I really want to invite you just on a journey this year. Because God's taking us on a massive journey of healing in my life, just a lot of healing. But I really want you to dive into what God wants this year. And it's not about signing a little box on a template, on a card, and committing to a ministry just for the sake of doing it. But I want you in the spirit to choose now to just jump into the kingdom fully. But it means jumping into this local church, serving. God is busy raising up an army. God started through Taran Mika many years ago. And we are just the stewards. We just happen to be the ones God chose. Sometimes I wonder why. But I love God's choice, because it's not the choice that maybe people would choose. So I know I don't fit the typical pastor role that many people have. Fani doesn't suit the typical pastor role, but God just chooses people. Because we said yes. Amen. Said yes to the kingdom. So I just want you to deal with the stuff in your heart right now. And I know this is like, it's a bit weird. But I'm being obedient to the Spirit. So I just want you to say, God, I'm climbing in. I'm not going to ask questions. I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to be so skeptical of stuff that is done. I just want to jump in fully, God. Because ultimately, God is in control of His church. And that's the best news that we can hang on to, is that with people, God is still in control. With people's mess. So Lord, I just pray for us as a church right now, Lord. I pray for each person as they just wrestling with you now, even, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you just, your spirit is here, Lord. As Fani said, Lord, you want to anoint us with freedom and with joy and with just a sense of family here this morning, Lord. just thank you this morning that you have taken every curse and every bit of shame and guilt and all the stuff that we have come in this life with, Lord, and that we've picked up along the way. Thank you for freedom and deliverance and healing this morning, Lord. Thank you that you make our hearts soft this morning, Lord, for where you want to go, God. We just thank you, Lord. I just sense that even in our church, Lord, you're making us so flexible, God, and so ready to move when you move, Lord, to go with the flow of your Spirit, God, in this city, God. So we thank you this morning for Bloemfontein, God. Our hearts cry out for the city, God. Our hearts cry out for the people, Lord, that are lost and that are disillusioned and that are so far from you, Lord, even though that once they served you and once they were passionate for you, Lord, and some people are just, you know, so confused, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you bring order, God, and that you bring your reign and rule in this city, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you also for Crawfordnet, Lord. We pray this morning, God, for Fani and Deline. I just want you guys to come forward. Let's just stretch out our hands for them. Let's put our faith together for this incredible, significant town. I believe Crawfordnet is not just another town, but it's a significant town, and he's chosen specific people. So, Lord, our hearts join with their faith, Lord, and we thank you for your kingdom to come in this town, Lord. Such historic and such a lot of strongholds in this town, Lord. So many gods are reigning there, Lord, and so many principalities and powers. But we thank you that your kingdom is coming in that town, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you that you've chosen Fani and Deline, Lord, and all the group of leaders that you've put around them, Lord. We thank you that, Lord, they will continue with strength and with courage, Lord, to run this race of faith. Father, we trust you for your reign to be established in that town, Lord, and that you would use that town to even be a light and a salt to many other small towns, Lord. We thank you that you want to just reach the Karoo, Lord. You want to reach the dry places and the platteland in this country of ours, Lord. So thank you for supernatural wisdom and strategy in this next while, God. We just pray over them just an incredible creativity and a wisdom to lead your people, Lord, and to see your kingdom pioneered, Lord, in Jesus' name. Not to fall into religion or to fall into a set of things to do on a Sunday or whenever we get together, but thank you, Lord, for life over that small group, that fellowship group, Lord. We pray for life over that church, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you want to reign in every place in this nation, in every place in this earth, Lord. You want to reign. And we thank you for choosing these people, Lord, as weak and as fallible and as human as they are. And Lord, we thank you that they recognize that they cannot, Lord, but that you can. So, Lord, our hearts cry out for this nation at this time, God. Our hearts cry out for the nations of the world, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for every nation, every tongue, every tribe. Just before we finish this morning, let's just pray for a nation. Let's just pray for some nation that's on your heart this morning, whether it's a nation around the African continent or a nation far away. But just pray for some nation this morning. Just let's let God's kingdom reign in the nations. Lord, we call the nations to a place of repentance, God. We call Africa to repentance, Lord. We call the Americas, Lord, to repentance, God. We thank you for Europe, Lord, for Asia, Lord, for every continent, Lord, for Australia, New Zealand, Lord, and all the countries around that continent, Lord, and the East and China and Japan. We call the nations to a place where the full gospel will change lives. We thank you for the whole gospel, God. And thank you that we can know that you are committed to taking the whole gospel to the whole world. And we thank you this morning that we are reminded again about the full gospel, Lord. That's not only relevant in our own lives, but is relevant to every life on this earth. We praise you, Jesus, that your heart is for the nations. We praise you that your heart is to use us, Lord. That your heart is out to establish your kingdom, Lord. Thank you for this morning, God. And thank you for every seed that was sown this morning. Thank you that you send us out here to be a blessing this week, Lord. To see others' lives impacted by the full gospel, God. Remind us of the full gospel, God. I pray for grace upon each one of us to live in that place of humility, to live in that place of surrender where you are our King, Lord. It's all about you this week, Lord. We say that this morning. Jesus, it's all about you. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name. If you still need prayer this morning, you're welcome to come forward. Otherwise, have a great week. Be blessed. And let the Spirit move through you this week in a powerful way. Amen. God bless you guys. And please come and join us this week for the fast and the prayer if you can. But if you can't in the week, just come on Wednesday night. We'd really like everyone here on Wednesday evening as a church that we can just pray for God to come and establish His kingdom in Bloemfontein. Amen.